Charleston River Dogs Baseball and this week's edition of Saturday Dog Talk, presented by the Carolina Ford Dealers on 1250 WTMA. Over the next half hour, the voice of the River Dogs, Matt Dean, will keep you up to date on everything Charleston River Dogs, including exclusive player and coach interviews, news from all around the game of baseball, and a preview of tonight's game. Now, let's throw it to Matt for Saturday Dog Talk.
And we welcome you inside LP France Stadium. We are here live in Hickory, North Carolina for another edition of Saturday Dog Talk. Setting up for tonight's 7 o'clock first pitch that pits the Charleston River Dogs against the Hickory Crawdads. River Dogs coming off back-to-back wins here in North Carolina. They have a chance to win the series tonight going into tomorrow's brief road trip finale. And after seeing a 6-0 lead slip away last night, the River Dogs would lean on left fielder Kanan Smith, who thumped his 9th home run of the season, a go-ahead 2-run tally in the 8th to put the River Dogs back in front in an eventual 9-8 victory over the Crawdads here on Friday night from LP France Stadium. Smith raised his league-leading batting average to .319 with a 3-hit night, including contributing in a 6-run second inning with an infield knock that drove in a run. Some sloppy play from the Crawdads would actually provide the Holy City with the technical game-winning run of the contest. Although Smith's 2-run drive was the big one, Holy City got an insurance marker that would end up being the difference in the game in the top half of the 9th. Eric Wagaman singled to lead off the frame, advanced on a misplay by the left fielder, moved up on a wild pitch, and then scored on a balk by Kelvin Gonzalez. That would make it 9-7 Dogs. Charleston roared out of the gates on the evening as they would smash 7 hits to chase Crawdad starter Ronnie Enriquez after he recorded just one out in the second. So after Charleston jumped out to that 6-0 lead, the offense kind of rested on their laurels. They were shut down by the Crawdads bullpen, managing just one hit between innings 3-7. And in the meantime, the Crawdads got to work. They pushed across 3 in the 4th inning with 3 straight extra base hits, capped by the 2-run blast from Tyreek Reed, the big slugging first baseman's 12th of the season. And Yoendris Gomez, who was roughed up really in just that 4th frame, would finish 5 on the night with just the 3 runs allowed. Hickory got 2 more unearned because of an error in the 6th, and then in the 7th, Josh Young, the Rangers' first-round pick, completed the comeback, tied the game with a solo homer. Matt Watley, after 2 more hits, would give the Crawdads their first lead with a sacrifice fly. Smith came up in the 8th after Brandon Lockridge had reached on an error earlier in the frame. He would step up and smash one out to deep right center field, a 2-run blast, his 9th of the season and the 3rd time that Smith, Charleston's bona fide MVP candidate, has gone deep in the 8th inning or later. 2 of those have put the River Dogs in front in some crucial road contests. It was a wild one last night, and even when the Dogs led it 6-0, it felt like in a ballpark like this, there's really not much of a lead that is safe, and the Crawdads certainly showed that, surging back, erasing the 6-0 Charleston lead. But on Kanan Smith's 2-run fly in the 8th, the River Dogs were back in front. They needed that extra insurance one, as we said, in the 9th, because the Crawdads got one back in the bottom of the frame, but Tim Hardy, who was charged with a blown save, would escape the rest of the damage on the night, and he would pick up his 2nd River Dogs win as he escaped with the lead by the end of the contest. It is the 2nd time in the last week that the River Dogs have come back after trailing from 7 innings. They did it previously on Sunday when they roared past Delmarva against the Shorebirds at Joe Riley Park. So the River Dogs coming from behind a couple of times in this hot stretch. They have won 9 of their last 11 entering play tonight. So yeah, if you didn't miss the broadcast yesterday, you missed a lot, but the River Dogs still coming in their hottest stretch of the season. They try to make it 3 in a row to take this series. They have won their now previous 4 meetings against the Hickory Crawdads. They took the final 2 contests of that series just last week at the Joe against the Rangers affiliate, who are the 2nd best team in the South Atlantic League this year at 68-44. It's a day for Josh's here today on Saturday Dog Talk. Our 2 guests, both named Josh, will hear from Josh Stowers on the other side of the break about his tremendous game that he had on Thursday here in Hickory. One of the best individual performances from Riverdog this year in all phases of the game. You'll hear about that coming up next on Saturday Dog Talk. We will also hear from the Charleston catcher, Josh Breaux, who was activated from the injured list today. He will make a start in the lineup as the designated hitter, batting third tonight. So Breaux, after over 2 months on the IL, we talk about him, about his recovery coming back and his excitement to rejoin the Riverdogs lineup. So a potent offense heating up in the last week and a half. They got Josh Stowers going on Thursday. They'll get Josh Breaux back in the lineup. Stick around for more Saturday Dog Talk content to hear from those two Charleston sluggers. We'll have Josh Stowers on the other side next here in the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA.
Hey fans, this is Julio Mosquera. Back to the Riverdogs action on 1250 WTMA.
Right, my guest today in Riverdogs pregame is an outfielder for the Charleston Riverdogs, Josh Stowers. Josh, Thursday night in Hickory, one of the more fun games we've had in quite some time. For you, individually, 1-for-2, a double, you walk a couple times, steal a couple bases in the field. Just basically one of the better all-around performances we've seen this year. Have you ever had a game like that, and how much fun was that for you? How unique was it to have the opportunities to make such an impact in a game just yourself?
I'd say it's definitely probably one of the better games of my career, especially defensive-wise. Sometimes you don't even get the chance to make, you know, those four plays I made throughout the whole year, get alone in one game. So being able to make those plays just kind of like gives you confidence offensive-wise. I've always prided myself on just being able to make plays defensively, even if I'm not hitting. So I always just try to go out there and just separate defense from offense and just allow both of my, aspects of my game show, no matter how I'm doing at the plate.
And yeah, you certainly did it last night. I mean, just the first inning and a half alone, like it was already like brewing up to be a special night. First inning, you make a diving play to steal one away from Josh Young. You rob a home run from Tyreek Reed. And then this is all in a three-pitch sequence. You come back out on the top of the second, swing at the first pitch you see, double into the gap, and then get the offense started for Riverdogs. You score that opening run. Like that, I can't imagine you've seen anything like that. Just break down that three-pitch sequence. How crazy was that to start the game like that?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, that's just something that I would have never dreamed of happening. It's kind of like something you see in a video game. But like I said, on defense, I just try to go out and make the best plays I can. And, they always say if you make a good play on defense, then you're bound to get a hit on offense. So it was just, kind of just how the game works. You make a great play on defense, and you're kind of bound to get a hit.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't even thinking about how you were going to lead off in the next inning, and then I just looked up, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen here? So, okay, you were just watching some video, I imagine, went back and watched some of your plays. Mm-hmm. Home run robbery, probably going to be number one, right? So the other three plays, you've got the gapper that you took away from Young in the first inning, third inning, dove out for one against Matt Watley. I wasn't even looking at you when you came in and made that catch. And then you went up against the netting in the fourth inning, which is kind of a new type of play. They have the extended netting here in Hickory. So all three pretty unique plays. Where do you rank those below the home run robbery?
I would say home run robbery is definitely number one, but I would say the play against the wall was probably my second favorite one, just because I'm not used to like jumping in the netting and bouncing back. So that was actually pretty cool. And the two diving plays, I would say the one in the gap was definitely harder just because it was hit a lot harder. And then obviously the last one would rank fourth out of the four plays I made yesterday.
Yeah, the protective netting, I think, good idea, obviously, for fan safety. I've never even thought about the fact. I think I saw a major league play a couple weeks ago. Had you seen anybody else like doing it? They added them in Chicago, I think, for the White Sox. Had you seen any other guys like make a similar type of play?
I saw a guy, I don't know his name, but I want to say it was in one of the stadiums that added protective netting. So he was going same kind of play, going for a ball, and then just jump into the netting and bounce right back into the field. So as an outfielder, it kind of helps you because usually you're prepared to hit the wall, and sometimes it hurts, especially if it's like a wooden fence like there in Hickory. But with the netting being there, I kind of just absorbed into the netting and just bounced right back, and I was fine.
Yeah, not just yourself too, but we saw just some amazing defense just the whole game, from the infield, from the crawdads too. They made a ton of plays. The victim kind of all of it was the first baseman for Hickory, Tyreek Reed. Yeah. Man, you robbed him twice. The home run, the one up against the netting, and then I think it was Oswald Peraza made an amazing spinning play against him too. Like, do you just kind of feel for a guy when he's, even when he's on the other team like that? It's a rough night for him.
But I got to first base, we were talking about it, and he was just like, man, he's like, you gotta let me get a hit sometime. And, you know, just it's cool when you have guys like that who are able to, like, joke around with it. And obviously, as a hitter, when that happens to you, you just, like, think about, like, wow, why is this happening to me today? But it all evens out in baseball because, I mean, today I'm sure he might have a hit that is not a hit any other day. And that's just kind of how the game works out for everybody.
Have you ever robbed a home run before in your career?
Yeah, I have, but not in pro ball. It's my first pro ball home run robbery.
All right, and also for you, a couple of stolen bases last night. You got to number 30 on the season, 50 in your professional career over your first 142 games. Mm-hmm. Were you kind of aware of that milestone after the game? Maybe not during the game, but are you thinking about that at all? And how special is that for you?
I wasn't thinking of numbers in terms of career totals, but I would say for this season, it's always been my goal to get 40 stolen bases. So, I mean, we have about, I want to say 24, 25 games left, and I think I have enough opportunity for me to steal 10 more bases and get the number that I wanted to get.
All right, and what can be kind of a tough stretch of the season? You kind of maybe sometimes have to look for extra ways to find some energy, to kind of stay energetic every day. How much easier does it make when the River Dogs are playing well like this? Winning 8 of 10, you guys are kind of getting back into the chase. It's just kind of, does that provide just a little bit of natural boost?
Yeah. Whenever you're winning, the game's a lot more fun. It's definitely hard to come out here, you know, when you're in a rough stretch and you're losing just a bunch of games in a row. And so when you're winning, you're able to relax a little bit and just have a lot more fun. And you can just see it in the clubhouse after games. Like when we win, there's just a bunch of smiles on the guys' faces. And even if someone has a bad game, no one's just like really soaking in the moment. So like I said, winning just creates just a more positive environment. And we're just going to try to keep up this hot stretch that we've been on.
All right, last couple things I got for you. I know you like to talk hitting with Kanan Smith. Mm-hmm. He's been super locked in as of late. A little bit quiet the last couple of days, but he had a stretch where he was 25 for his last 50. Yeah. He was hitting, you know, over 400. It's still somewhere 368, I think, since the beginning of July. What's working for Kanan right now? And do you try to kind of find a little bit to rub off from him? You try to just kind of keep him and let him stay in his element? Like, what are you doing when you've seen a guy that hot?
Well, we're roommates. We're roommates at back in Charleston and on the road. So, you know, anytime we talk about hitting, we just always just tell each other to stick with our approaches. And, you know, even like early in the season, I was doing well and he was struggling. Like, he says the same thing to me when I went through a little rough stretch for the past 2 months. He's just like, stick with your approach. And same thing I tell him. And he's just been able to literally probably just hit every pitch where it's thrown. So he's been going oppo, pull side. He's just sticking with his approach, and he's just not letting a couple bad games get to him. And he's just been able to pretty much just repeat his swing every at bat, no matter what the pitch is.
You ever remember seeing a guy in an extended hot streak like that?
No, the hot streak he was on was actually unbelievable, because every time he was up at the plate, I actually just assumed he would get a hit. And it wouldn't be like a cheap hit, it would be like a double or hard hit single.
Okay, last thing I got for you, just a random note. I forgot to ask you this earlier this year. I was trying to find the video again. You kind of had like a little dance you would do at Louisville. I think usually you'd get on second base. Like, what was the story behind that? And what, I'm going to try to get you to commit to this. What would you have to accomplish this year in a game to bring it back?
I'm not sure if Julio would approve of it, but back in college, our coach loved to just let us, you know, be ourselves and have fun. And anytime we had an extra base hit, at school, we would do a dance called the Millie Rock. So anytime somebody hit a double, triple, home run, as soon as you got to whatever base you were at, you would just break out the dance.
All right, so nothing we can get you to commit to it?
I mean, if it's all right with Julio, I mean, I'll break it out, but, you know, he doesn't know about it yet, so I guess I can do it before he tells me I can't.
All right, again, we want to thank our guest, Josh Stowers. We'll have more River Dogs pregame coverage coming up next in WTMA.